SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, about 10 minutes in on this Tuesday and the second half of the broadcast year, the summer season, well underway now. And John White joins us to kick it off. John, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Hope you had a great vacation.
Absolutely, number one.
Very good. We've been trying to stay cool here in Southern California. That's been a battle. We hit 117 here where I live, about a mile from Santa Anita, that day that Los Alamitos canceled most of their card. So, I mean, it's been pretty brutal here. We've had a lot of fires in the area and so forth. And so we've been battling that. I've been really happy today. I mean, I just thought it was wonderful that those soccer kids and the coach have all been rescued. I think that's one of the miracles of our lifetime, that those kids were found. And then,
amazing,
you know, the ordeal of this rescue, I mean, this is one of the just amazing stories of my lifetime, I think. So that's been pretty exciting today. And I really was very interested in your interview with Ken McPeak, because in my current expressbet.com column that's posted right now at expressbet.com and XBTV, I ranked the, which I do every year, I've been doing this for over a decade, I ranked the top 10 performances by a thoroughbred in the United States for the first half of the year. Then at the end of the year, I'll have the top 10 performances by a thoroughbred in the United States for the entire year. And I had Restless Riders race at number 6. I started it at number 10, and as I kept going through what she did in that race, I kept moving her up the list and settled on her at number 6. And so I was especially interested that Ken McPeak said to the effect that she's got freak potential or something of words of that effect. And then compared, you know, he hasn't been as excited about a 2-year-old since Take Charge Lady. I was a huge Take Charge Lady fan.
So was I.
I'll never forget the race she ran against Azari in the Apple Blossom that was just one of the best races I ever saw in defeat by a racehorse. And but, you know, this win by Restless Rider, I mean, not only did she get stopped cold going into the turn, remember, this was only a 6-furlong race.
That's right.
She got stopped cold and then won by 11.25 lengths. It's hard to win a 6-furlong race by 11.25 lengths, period, let alone getting stopped cold. And that race, the debutante was first run in 1895. It was the 118th running of the debutante, and the 11.25 length margin of victory was the biggest in the history of the race. The previous record was 11 lengths by Sweet Little Lady in 1977. So that was really some performance, I thought. So it's interesting that McPeak's pointing her now for the spin away, then on to the Alcibiades, and then on to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. So I think she's a very exciting filly off of what she demonstrated in that race as a 2-year-old filly.
Oh, no doubt about it. And there'll be obviously any number of emergent performers on the juvenile front. John, let's also fold in the performance. I was hoping to get Kellen Gorder today. We'll try him again tomorrow. Got to talk about the stunner from Red Ruby. I mean, here's a filly that has shouldered herself right up to the top of the division. And it's not unusual, I suppose, as the year goes on, you know, for late season horses. But she already had established herself earlier this winter and then, you know, wins the Black Eyed Susan in the wet, and you say to yourself, well, hard to know what parameter to put on that effort. But then the effort at Delaware, I mean, she clearly is a major player in the division going forward the rest of the second half.
No doubt about it. 104 by her speed figure, the biggest of her career. Her previous top was an 89, so this was a big step forward for her. And interestingly, she's by Tisnow, who I think really hasn't gotten really the credit he probably deserves for what he's accomplished as a sire. He's really been a very good sire. And interestingly, a full brother to Tisnow is Tisbud, and Tisbud is the sire of Soyfet. And I was so happy that when you returned from your vacation, one of the first things that you brought up was the win in the Bertrando Stakes by Soyfet at Los Alamitos, because that just brought the biggest smile to my face. I mean, how can you not become a fan of this 10-year-old gelding? A $16,000 claim, and I went this morning and added it up. But what he's earned since he was claimed for $16,000, he's earned $978,170, and for lifetime earnings, he went over the $1 million mark in the Bertrando. You know, the first stakes race he ever ran in after he was claimed, he actually ran a respectable third in the Grade 1 Awesome Again at Santa Anita in 2013. He was 22-1 in that race and finished third behind Mucho Macho Man and Painter.
Yep.
So, I mean, that was kind of a tip-off that, he was going to be a pretty darn good $16,000 claim. And, of course, when I was doing this work this morning in figuring out how much Soyfet has earned since being claimed, and what a job Leonard Powell has done with this gelding, just an outstanding job for sure. But it brought to mind to me the most lucrative claim in the history of thoroughbred racing, and that was Lava Man, who was a $50,000 claim and went on to earn $5.1 million. But this is really quite a story, and I mean, it's just, back-to-back stakes wins. He pulled off that huge upset in the Crystal Water on the grass at Santa Anita when he was just kind of a very shocking 47-1, why he was that huge of a price that day is really kind of a head-scratcher. I mean, he's never shown to be that good on the turf. That was only a second turf win in his career. But by the same token, I mean, that's to be absolutely dismissed in the wagering like that, a 47-1. And then to come back and win that Bertrando, it was his first stakes victory in his career. Had come in the Bertrando Stakes earlier in his career. So, like I say, that's quite a story. I'm glad you brought him up. And what a job by Leonard Powell. I just love to see these old equine senior citizens do well. I still think one of the greatest accomplishments in the history of the sport was John Henry being a horse of the year as a 9-year-old, something I don't think we'll ever see again in our lifetime. That was 1984. And just a tremendous trading job by Ron McAnally, of course, throughout John Henry's career, but especially to have a horse be the horse of the year as a 9-year-old. And remember, that was the first year of the Breeders' Cup. And John Henry got hurt before the Breeders' Cup, didn't run in the Breeders' Cup, and still was the horse of the year that year. So that is one of the great accomplishments by, a senior citizen thoroughbred. And it brought to mind for me, the oldest horse I ever saw win a race was a horse called Snappy Nashville up at Yakima Meadows when I was calling charts there for the racing form in 1979. And he was 15 years old when he won a $1,600 claiming race at the age of 15, so that was pretty neat. Earlier in his career, he'd finished second in the All-American Handicap at Golden Gate, but that was a big deal at Yakima at that time for a 15-year-old to be able to win a race, and that's one that I'll never forget.
Well, and now we don't let him... We don't let him get to be 15, right?
Exactly. I know.
You'll never see that again.
Well, and Maxwell G's, another one from was a Washington bred who I saw run at Yakima Meadows in the early 60s. In fact, Dennis Ward was riding at that time. To show you how far back that was, Wesley Ward's father. I have a program with Maxwell G in it and
That's
Dennis
great.
Ward riding at Yakima on that particular day. And Maxwell G turned out to be one of the most popular horses to race in the Chicago at the Chicago tracks and at Turf Paradise. And he, he was winning races at a very advanced age in his life as well.
Well, John, since we spoke last, the end of the Santa Anita season, we're a couple of weeks into Lausanne. You mentioned on Friday they had to scuttle the racing after two races, and of course that's happened at Ellis and Philly and Delaware and New York this year. We've lost weather impacting racing, but the Lausanne Derby, they'll draw tomorrow. Some final elements to the Santa Anita season, what you were left with, the impressions, and I do see the picture you said. You got a chance to go visit with Justify, running your picture total with Triple Crown winners to four.
Yeah, four of the last five. I've actually had my picture taken where what I really like about each picture is I've got my hand on each of those Triple Crown winners, the four being Secretariat, Seattle Slough, American Pharoah, and Justify. The only one I missed was Affirmed, who I did see in 1986 when I was in Kentucky, where the main purpose of that trip was to visit Secretariat. But I did see Affirmed, but I didn't get a chance to pose with him. But and I'll tell you, the one that really, I mean, that was something, and you can kind of see in the picture how I'm a little tentative around that Seattle Slough. I knew what he was kind of, not exactly a pet like American Pharoah, so I was very cautious around Seattle Slough when I got my picture taken with him. But the Santa Anita meet, I mean, first of all, I was just kind of glad to have it end, as was Rick Hamerly and practically everybody else after such a long run. I mean, that's a marathon. There's just no getting around it. But obviously, to me, the highlight was Justify. For him to come out, I'll never forget Rick Hamerly being on your show on that Friday and talking him up after Baffert had visited him in his racing office that morning, which was very unusual for Baffert to do because he wanted to be sure that maiden race was not going to get canceled due to lack of entries. And Rick Hamerly, talked up Justify big time on your show. I was making the morning line for his first race that morning and had him the day before at 9-5, lowered him to 6-5 for his first race. And of course, you know, he won his first race by 9.5 lengths. And what he did in a 112-day span, the more we get away from that, the more that's going to resonate with people in terms of just what a fantastic achievement that is. I mean, it takes your breath away. I mean, you know, and it's certainly understandable that he might, you know, this has taken something of a toll on him. That is not surprising at all. It would have been surprising if it didn't take something of a toll on him. But, you know, for him to sweep the Triple Crown undefeated and having not raced as a two-year-old, and, you know, it's just remarkable what he was able to do. And I go back to his Santa Anita Derby, and you were there that day. And, you know, he Bolt the Oro at that time, a multiple grade one winner, gave him two good challenges in that race. And, I mean, that was, to me, a real big tip-off on what we might be dealing with Justify. And not only that, but I remember Bob Baffert coming on your show the Monday after the Santa Anita Derby, and he said he's just a phenomenal talent. And, you know, Bob Baffert does not throw out phrases like that. He doesn't, you know, dish out superlatives willy-nilly. I mean, that just said a ton to me, and I really wrote that up big time in my ExpressBet.com column because I felt that was a big signal in what we might see in the Kentucky Derby. And I think we really need to appreciate what we were able to witness this year because it was certainly something extremely special.
Well, we're waiting for the next act on that, the series of performances, and the second act of the year in California, turning from Lausanne after this weekend to Del Mar, John. And you, of course, as part of the steward rotation this summer, what's the status? What's your plan for the fair circuit?
So my assignment that I was given, which is fine with me that it's not a big assignment, but I look forward to it because I had a 1 week stint at Golden Gate last year, and I've got a 1 week stint scheduled at Golden Gate this year for August 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th. However, that's something in the air at this time because of the dispute with Golden Gate that's needs to be settled. So whether that'll be at Golden Gate or someplace else, at this point, I don't know. I'm hoping it'll be at Golden Gate because, like I say, I really enjoyed my week stay at Golden Gate last year, which followed my stint at Ferndale, which I also enjoyed. But and I didn't expect to go back to Ferndale this year because that was a last-minute fill-in situation. David Noosh, his wife was having a baby, and I worked as a safety steward with him at Los Alamitos, and he had asked me, hey, do you think you can fill in for me? Because my wife's due dates come earlier than was expected, and so if you can switch with me, I'll do your safety steward stand at Los Al that week, and you can go up to Ferndale, which was fantastic for me because Ferndale was a track on my bucket list, so I was able to scratch that one off. It was the 64th track I've been at in my life, and the two main ones I still have on my bucket list, well, actually, there's three. Saratoga is one, Woodbine is another, and Arlington, those three. So I have yet to visit those three, but so somewhere along the line I hope that that'll be the case. But I never was able to get to Saratoga because of HRTV and, you know, working there. Or before that I was working for the racing form at Del Mar, and so I hope to be able to get to Saratoga one of these years.
Well, we'd love to have you here, and looking forward, John, toward the action downstate at Del Mar. We'll start to get a read, and in fact, when we talk next week, we'll have opening day card and more, and we'll see if there's going to be two divisions of the Oceanside. That's always
a
potential
question.
Yeah,
that's the traditional question.
Should be a good summer, and you know, for those that haven't been watching Los Al, the racing Los Al has been good, and going to be some, I think, some 2-year-olds that come rolling into Del Mar off of performances,
especially already... that Instagram certainly,
yep.
That's about as impressive as a debut win as I've ever seen for Jerry Hollendorfer, for that $1.2 million purchase. That I mean, wow, that was some performance there. But we know Bob Baffert's going to have some 2-year-olds up his sleeve for sure. In fact, the day I was out to get my picture taken with Justify, Bob had a full sister, half sister, a Tappet filly work out and work pretty well. That's a filly that he's gearing up for the Del Mar meet. In fact, they showed a snippet of that workout on the NBC telecast of the Belmont Oaks this past Saturday. So that's a filly that, like I say, we're kind of looking forward to see what she can do. Her name is Chasing Yesterday by Tappet, and
right,
a half-sister to American Pharaoh.
Now, looking at a couple of the other notables, I did note that Regulate got the maiden win finally. That came on Wednesday, on July 4th. Had taken a few tries. And there was also the Louis Mendez. I brought this up with Hammer, that Katie Lee, the debut performance by Katie Lee, the 2-year-old filly. That was a nice effort. Midnight Loot filly, 79 buyer. Breaking her maiden.
Yeah, that was impressive as well. So she's another one that we'll have to look forward to for sure. But one thing about Del Mar and Saratoga, both, we know that while the likes of Instagram at Los Alamitos and then Restless Rider at Churchill, we always get those big-time impressive winners at Saratoga and Del Mar both. That's part of the charm of both of those summertime meets. You never know when you're going to what
sure.
You might see pop out for a Pletcher or a Chad Brown or Ken McPeak or Bob Baffert or Doug.
Everybody.
How about Doug O'Neill's got one called LeBron J.
Right.
That they paid a lot of money for. So, you know, they're, and so talk about having to live up to a big name. We've had Gronkowski, who ran the big second, and I thought really impressive second in the Belmont Stakes. Unfortunately, it looks like he's not going to make the Jim Dandy Gronkowski, as he had a setback that hasn't been specified by Chad Brown. But Chad said he still would like to get to the Travers with Gronkowski. But LeBron J, a $1.2 million medaille d'oro, you were talking with Stephen Allday. And the minute Stephen Allday was talking about that, when he said, I had to go to Louisiana to look at this horse and so forth, I knew exactly who that was. And I think that was one of those off-the-sheets deals that that horse, Medaille d'Oro, would run a really great number on the sheets that kind of got on Frankel's radar to be bought. And, of course, Medaille d'Oro would go on to earn over $5 million and has turned out to be one of the top sires of, you know, of all time, really. But LeBron J's out of a Tappet mare, so there's that Tappet again. Talk about one of the all-time great sires. And Doug O'Neill training LeBron J for Phoenix Thoroughbred. So there's a colt who's already gotten a fair amount of notoriety before he's even started. So, and, you know, one thing I'll say about LeBron J to look forward to, it was Dennis O'Neill that is said to have been the one that picked him out, and Dennis has such a good eye for a horse. His track record at picking out these horses is so good. I mean, he's one of the best I've ever been around, and so that's a big plus for LeBron J in itself, that it was Dennis O'Neill that was the one that felt he was worth buying. And so we'll see if LeBron J can maybe slam dunk him during this Del Mar meet.
There's also another colt that I want to slip in from Sunday, and certainly Dennis O'Neill's picked out any number for the Reddams, and I'm not sure if he picked owning himself. Simon Callahan sent out this Flashback colt. This was the first winner for Flashback, and the John Secura and the Hill and Dale team bred owning, and was a winner on Sunday. Also, you know, earned a credible 75 figure going five furlongs, five and a half. So keep an eye out for owning and Flashback. Very much a bargain stallion at Hill and Dale, and anxious to see where this one goes.
Flashback could really be, you know, something. I wouldn't be surprised if he turned out to be a very good sire at all. He had a lot of ability, but and on top of that, he was just a gorgeous individual and very well conformed. And there was a lot there. And he's the kind of type that he could actually turn out to be a very successful sire, I think. And this could be the tip off right here, this owning.
Agreed. There was also another Doug O'Neill in here for Zaydan, and that was Tariq that debuted from the rail. And Doug's had a very good couple of weeks already at Los Al. So we're looking
and
forward
to... And boy, he ended Santa Anita. I mean, he was so hot about the last month, about like the temperature here. You know, that day that Los Alamitos canceled after the first couple of races, it was 117 right here. I've never seen a temperature like that here right next door to Santa Anita. I mean, and I was really thankful they weren't, you know, that Santa Anita's meet had ended and we weren't trying to race at Santa Anita through 117-degree temperatures.
No.
That's a
nuts.
You know, Steve, that's a really good buyer speed figure, but it's a lousy temperature.
Yeah. John White, everybody, and the summer season. We'll look forward, John, to looking at some Del Mar action with you and keeping tabs on what you're doing, helping out the stewards. John White, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Take a break here. Got to get a visit in with Dick Powell. I'll mention to everybody that there's night school tonight. Got the conversation with Brian W. Spencer, of course. Look forward to that, 8:30 as well. Let's step out. Come right back. Dick Powell, talk about Presque Isle and maybe get some impressions from Dick about what we saw in New York on Saturday as well. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. This ain't no mud club. CBGB. By the way, speaking of lived in a brownstone, Dave Hill has a piece at The Ringer. I'm maybe a third of the way into it. That just looks unbelievable. He traveled home to Arkansas, ostensibly for a piece on cockfighting. The story is called In the Pit with the Fighting Roosters. But it then quickly evolved into something very different that includes the immigration issue of the day. David Hill just is a remarkable talent. I'll tweet this later this morning, this afternoon, and I'll finish reading it. It is amazing. It popped up at about 6 a.m. and so before we went on the air, I knew I couldn't. It's a long read, and so I knew I couldn't get to all of it. But I'll be hard pressed not to get Dave on the air to talk about this. His writing is him and Ryan Goldberg, racing. You know, lucky to have writers of. There's so many great. It's amazing, actually, how many great writers that are drawn to the game, and then their outside interests. You know, once you latch on to the talent, you follow wherever their own particular. You know, they get drawn to stories, and I'm astounded. I write a little, not like this. It's unbelievable. So look for it later today. I'll retweet it. And for those of you that follow Dave, Dave Hill 77 is the Twitter address. Incredible. Dick Powell joining us, and we talked briefly with Dick on Friday ahead of the stakes at Presque Isle, and he ended up with two prices, Dick, you know, one shocker and one a mid-price long shot, but big full fields. That's the one of the appeals when people, you know, look to full fields. That's what they're looking for. Good morning.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame trainer Jonathan Sheffield gets what was he, 7-1, 7.4-1 Rose Tree with Andrew Wolfson. Really hadn't shown much, was off the layoff, and was second last year in a stake race that's coming up next month. So the horse did have some form over the track against Pennsylvania bred stakes horses, but I couldn't come up with it. They all rallied from behind. The one-two finishes were ninth and 11th early, so the speed collapsed, and they picked up the pieces, and a big win for Wolfson, the rider. And he got in with 114 pounds. He made the weight and pulls away from the favorite, Imply. He carried 125. Him and Proctor's horse, I didn't think would get that heavily. And they did. They were 13-10 and 18-10. So Rose Tree, Pennsylvania bred daughter of Holland's Holiday. We've seen a lot of them. When's that one going away? And then in the seventh race, Beyond Smart, Scott Speep, Tim Gurdon, that's usually a good combination. 22-1, breaks from the rail, shuffle back, rallies in between horses, gets up, pulls away by 3/4 of a length over the 4-5 favorite, fast and accurate. So nice fields, 9-horse field in the one and 12-horse field in the other stake race. So they yielded a... some nice opportunities, because even with the big bomb in the second stake, the favorite did hang on for second, so you could have had some damage there, boxing the wheeling. So, yeah, nice stake races Sunday night. Last night I noticed, Steve, and I just noticed dopey things, but the track seemed surprisingly slow. And I watched the running times last night, and they were all off at least a full second. So I don't know if it was just from the strong sun we had yesterday, you know, kind of breaking apart the track. Maybe it hadn't been watered enough, or I can't explain it, but it really was noticeably slow. So if you're keeping track of things, July 9th might have been a little bit on the slow side when you look at these horses coming back and their running times.
Well, I want to also point out for a second, in that Northern Fling, not only did you have Shepherd win with the 15-2 Rose Tree, but the runner-up, 17-1 War Baby, Eddie Graham, a horse that he's training for Bill Pape, that used to be with Jonathan Shepherd.
I was going to say, we'll see him going over hurdles.
Exactly. five-year-old mare.
Glen Hill Farm in there, and you know, the usual horses you're going to see, especially with the Pennsylvania breds. They have a nice program, and some of these people have been involved. Whether there was a reward program or not, many of these people have been breeding horses in Pennsylvania for many years, and now their program just keeps getting better and better. So, yeah, that was what did that exacta come back? 175 for $2.
Yeah, 175.40, and with the favorite third, the Tribe, 50-cent Tribe, 208.30. The winner, Buttonwood Farm. Tell me about Wolfsant. What do we know?
He's been... I just had it here. What did I do with it, Dick? I have a printout of the riders. He hasn't had that good a meet. I can tell you that. But he, you know, to get aboard Jonathan, that's a vote of confidence. If you're a better, that's all you really need to know. Hall of Fame trainers put the kid on. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, he's mostly a Penn National. Is a Penn National
I
rider?
So, yes.
Yeah, Penn National kid.
So Sunday night, I don't think Penn National was racing, so he's able to maybe do some double duty and comes over and gets a really nice mount. But
very good.
You know, Shepard shows up, and even though he's Jonathan Shepard or Graham Motion or the other trainers that ship up there, they somehow tend to get overlays. I can't explain it. You'd think the public would be all over them with the, you know, a big recognizable name like that.
Absolutely.
And yet we see day in and day out those horses return very nice prices, and he had pointed this one, so I would expect him to run the one back in the Malvern Rose coming up in August.
Well, racing tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday. Looking at the slates, some very nice fields. Just looking at tonight, you look at that pick four, 10 by 7.
Yeah.
Usually when I print out Presque Isle, I can tell kind of what kind of card it is by how many pages it takes. So if they have a lot of maiden races, it doesn't take too many pages because there's not a lot of past performance lines. And then when you got the good, solid claiming types that have been around, bigger fields, things like that. I'm leaning to the front of the card tonight. Race one is a nice $27,000 maiden for two-year-olds. And I'm going to go with number 6, Mo Freedom. Now, look at this. We got Robin LaPenta, Jonathan Thomas. Where have we seen that before? Capricorn.
Oh, we talked yesterday. We talked to Jonathan about this horse.
Oh, did it? Oh, good, good, good. Well, what did he say?
He is hopeful and expecting that this is the right kind of spot. Is a horse that needs distance. That was the motivation, and gets one of my favorite guys on the irons, Willie Martinez.
Who's having a big meet. I mean, Willie's winning 20%, and on Brist they keep track of sprint records and route records, and Willie is 23% with his route mounts and shows a flatbed profit. I did notice that he's starting the career off going a two-turn mile, the son of Uncle Mo. And certainly has a good first-out pedigree, so I picked him on top in race number 1. And I used Tim Ham, the 3, both parts of the entry underneath. And then in the third race, flip over here, these are optional 50 claimers. And I went to the outside, number 6, Stellar Trick, claimed for 25, ran kind of evenly next time out, then came back at 5.5, one going away. Now stretches out to 2 turns. That move doesn't work as much as you might think at Presque Isle. But from the outside, I don't think we'll be anywhere near the pace. I think Eddie Dominguez will drop back. And Eddie Dominguez is 5-10 with Jerry Brooks the last 60 days. So they've been a hot combination. And he rides back on this one that he won going 5.5 last time out, won it going away. So I'm expecting him to be able to negotiate the stretch out and sit off the pace and hopefully make the one run. So race one, number six, race three, number six.
Well, and you mentioned the two-year-old race that we discussed with Jonathan yesterday. That's the opener. There's also fillies going short as the fourth race. And nice groups here. 27,000 is the pots for maidens. And those are the only two-year-old races of the week, actually, through the rest of the week. But you can really you get a sense... looking at these kinds of races, Dick, the appeal, in its own way, it's kind of a Tampa for the big outfits. And then at the same time, you know, it has its own core of, you know, of steady action. You look at my Englehart, you know, he sends horses over. His father does as well from Finger Lakes. You mentioned Tim Ham. He comes marauding over from Ohio. It's a real amalgam of horsemanship.
It is, and this race drew 11 two-year-old fillies going to 5.5. So that's a big full gate. Ham has an entry. I went kind of logical in here with another number six horse, Song of Indy, a daughter of Take Charge Indy, for Mike Rogers, who ran okay first time out and adds blinkers tonight. So hopefully she'll be a little bit sharper. And underneath that one, Mike Stidham has the first to buy More Than Ready. And More Than Ready is still fantastically hot, winning at a mile and a quarter with Catholic Boy. You know, we used to think of More Than Ready as a sprinter and then kind of a turf sprinter. Then he went to Australia and did spectacular down in Australia with turf sprinting. But we've seen him win many two-turn juvenile turf races in the Breeders' Cup. And now with the Catholic Boy breaking new ground at a mile and a quarter, you know, the More Than Ready will basically just do what you want. But they do mature early. And this one has a second leading rider, Antonio Gallardo. And I looked it up. Gallardo is not the leading rider at Monmouth. He's third or fourth, but he has by far the most money won at Monmouth. So he does double duty. He has 23 wins at Monmouth and 37 at Prescott. Pablo Morales has 55. But he, you know, he misses a day or two at Prescott. But he gets this one from Mike Stidham, who I noticed has a barn at Fairhill and is shipping out of there. But this one, its last five workouts were on the Fairhill dirt surface. The Fairhill training track is the Tapeta track. When it just says Fairhill, that's on dirt. So this one does have a Tapeta workout back on May 16th, but he's certainly bred for Tapeta with a nice turf pedigree. Seems to have some speed based on the last two workouts and Gallardo breaking from the outside.
Yeah, agreed. There's that pairing again, too, Spieth and Tim Girton on a tough post for the debuting Redeem My Heart, the 12. This is a co-owned Murfield Farm and Girton, a redeemed filly, Pennsylvania bred.
Girton has some big numbers. He's with a small sample. He's 29% first time out, and he's 36% 4 for 11 when they debut at the maiden special weight, and they all show big flatbed profits. Him and Spieth haven't combined that much this year, surprisingly. That would normally be a go-to combination. But Spieth is having a terrific meet. And he's another guy, Steve. When you use the Briss PPs and you get the detailed jockey statistics, Spieth is technically better going long than he is going short. Willie Martinez is better going long than he is going short. At least the numbers indicate that. There's various reasons why that's true. So Spieth draws outside. I don't know if the horse has speed. He has a nice breeze here, June 21st. Comes back with a 101 breeze. That was from the gate. So we'll see what kind of money it takes. It's 12-1 morning line. And we'll watch the board to see how live this horse will be in race number four.
You know, I'm looking and I see a breeding on the rail. Tim Ham, name comes up again. This is a horse that he owns in partnership with Windstar, Betrothed, an Into Mischief, out of Livy McKenzie.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, Tim's noted for developing young horses and selling them, either before they race or soon after they've raced. So I'm not sure when Windstar got involved with this horse, whether it was right in the beginning or... No, Windstar bred it, so that answers that question.
Yeah.
But yeah, she has a terrific pedigree. She didn't break real well in her debut, and breaking from the rail today against a pretty good-sized field, I don't know how she's going to negotiate that trip. Maybe she just was a little slow-footed and actually does have speed. You would expect an Into Mischief to be able to get out there and wing. And we'll see if Pablo Morales, who picks up the mount, didn't ride her last time, can get her away cleanly and live up to that nice pedigree. But you're absolutely right. It's a stout pedigree.
Well,
not stout, but precocious anyway.
Well, this is a filly that is clearly they want to get a win in. Hard to believe that an Into Mischief out of a major stakes mare is running for 27. You get the sense that this is the kind that the expectations might be a little limited, but you're going to want to get a W on the resume. So keep an eye on this one. Well, keep an eye on what's going on at Presque Isle. 5:30 start, and the perfect time. You come home from work, and this is a very nice card. There's an allowance feature that goes as the 7th, and I told you that late pick 4, really nice. 10 by 10 by 7 by 12, if you want to dig in there. Dick, I appreciate it. We'll be talking Saratoga as well as Presque Isle next week.
Yes, definitely.
Dick Powell, everybody. Appreciate Dick stopping by, as well as the visits from John White, Dr. Stephen Allday, Kenny McPeak, Rick Violette. More to do tomorrow, of course. The sale rolling along at this point. And for those of you that are interested today, give you a couple of ideas. Obviously, Presque Isle we just talked about, but Finger Lakes, Fort Erie, Indiana Grand, Louisiana Downs, Mountaineer, Park Express, Thistledown, and Fairmount. Your options for a Tuesday. And next, actually, speaking of Fort Erie and Tuesdays, aren't we looking forward to the next week? Prince of Wales, right? Next Tuesday. Good luck today, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.